want to thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen.
Thank Him for being here tonight.
Yeah.
Pray for me. Someone asked me to sing this song.
Bless the Lord.
Haven't sung it in a while, so just
help the Lord.
Listen to the words to it. I just want to thank the Lord for living in America. And
amen, Sister Molly.
Being raised in a Christian nation.
Amen.
I don't say anymore that it's not, but it is. It was.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Oh.
Wonders in the deep. For he, the Lord, commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. We'll read verse 29 together. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for another Lord's Day.
Yes, Lord.
Almost completed, and yet we have no promise of either the next few minutes or the next hour. But Lord, we thank you for the blessings, Lord, of this day. As we come tonight together around the Word of God, we ask that, Lord, that you will speak to us out of its pages. And Lord, that you will help me, Lord, tonight deliver that which you have impressed upon my heart for this particular service. And I pray you'll open up the hearts of the people that have gathered here to receive it. Lord, we ask tonight that you forgive us of our failures, our stubbornness, our sins, Lord, our hateful ways, Lord, toward you at times. And we pray that, God, that you look down upon us and pity us as a father pitied his children. And Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, that if there is one here tonight and unsaved, we always pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit will visit trouble their hearts and get them under old-time conviction. Lord, the most of the people here tonight profess salvation, but I pray tonight if there's any here tonight, Lord, in troubled waters, that, Lord, you'd speak to their hearts tonight, show them the remedy for it, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
In these few verses here tonight, five verses we read, I think, we have painted for us a picture in the Word of God. And it is a picture of waters that are troubled and somebody caught in them. The Bible says of that person caught in them, they are tossed to and fro.
Amen.
In other words, they go from one side to the other.
Right.
It says that they are at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. Have you ever been to a place in your life when you had trouble and you literally did not know what to do?
Amen.
Troubled waters in the Bible can be and is a type of a troubled soul. In Psalms 18 and verse 16, the psalmist said, he drew me out of many waters.
Amen.
You can have all kinds of different trouble. You can have family trouble, financial trouble, physical trouble, all kinds of trouble. But the psalmist said, he drew me out of many waters, and waters being a type of the troubles. He said in Psalm 69, verse 2, I'm coming to deep waters, where the floods or the troubles overflow me. In other words, he says, I got so many troubles that they just overflowed me. I don't know what to do. But our text says in verse 29 that we read together, it said, he, that being the Lord, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Now, this gives me my preaching text tonight that I want to preach about just a few minutes, and it's in the form of a question. And my preaching text tonight is, when does he calm the troubled waters? When does he calm the troubled waters? I'll go to three places tonight in the Word of God to answer my text tonight. And the first one will be over in the book of Jonah. You turn over to the book of Jonah, the Bible said there in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Notice verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Pretty troubled water.
Yeah.
And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Not the God, but his God.
Right.
And cast forth the wires that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipman came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one of them to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, what? Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then he said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and was tumultuous. So our reading tonight tells us of Jonah, and the Bible tells us he was in pretty troubled water. Amen. I mean, it's so bad that the men are fearing for their own life. Yeah, now, let me say tonight, listen, I want to say that even these men that were used to stormy waters, that were used to sailing in stormy seas, it was so bad that they were fearing for their own life. Why was it that the waters were so troubled? Well, it's because Jonah got off the good ship of the will of God. Amen. How many knows it's a good ship to ride the will of God?
Amen.
Jonah got off the good ship of the will of God, and he boarded the bad ship out of God's will. Amen.
Amen.
He boarded the bad ship of rebellion. I want to say, listen, the moment he got off of the ship of the will of God, and he got on the ship of rebellion against God, the Bible says that the storm started. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say tonight, listen, you need to stay off of the ship of rebellion tonight.
Amen.
A lot of people are rebelling against God.
Amen.
They're rebelling of getting saved by God. They're rebelling in serving God.
Amen.
They're rebelling in going to the house of God. They're rebelling from reading the Word of God.
Amen.
And whenever Jonah rebelled from the Lord, the waters became troubled. Amen. I'll tell you, any time a child of God rebels and gets out of the will of God, they're headed for troubled waters. Amen. There is no such thing as getting out of the will of God and having smooth sailing. It's just not going to happen. Amen. Jonah found that out. And when Jonah got out of the will of God, I'll tell you, the sweetest place to be on God's earth is in the will of God.
Amen.
Find out where God wants you. Find out what God wants you to do, and stay there and do that, and God will bless your life.
Amen.
It's true, sometimes the will of God's hard. Sometimes God tells us to go places we don't want to go. Like Jonah did. Sometimes God tells us to do things we don't want to do. But I'll tell you something harder than doing the will of God, and that's trying to do rebel against God and not do God's will. We see here tonight Jonah learned some things, though, before it was all over. And one of the things Jonah learned was the cost of rebelling against God is always very high. Amen.
Amen.
We read there in verse 3, the Bible said Jonah paid the fare thereof. Now you can go back in the Kings and find about where we first read about Jonah. And there's a few things said about him through the scriptures, but this is the only time that you find it said that Jonah had to pay his own fare. You see, when you're doing God's will and going where God wants you to go and doing what God wants you to do, God is going to supply the expense. Amen. But when you go on your own way, you do your own thing, you're going to have to pay your own fare.
Amen.
And it's going to be high. Amen. I want you to notice here that Jonah learned the cost would be high. Oh, it costs to rebel against God.
Amen.
It costs to rebel against God.
Yes.
Then I see here that it causes innocent people grief. I see in verse 5 where the Bible said the mariners were troubled. These men hadn't done anything. They're not saved, but they hadn't done anything to bring this storm on. It was what Jonah did that brought the storm in their life. Yes. Did you know tonight that if I get out of the will of God tonight, it would not only cost me, but it would cost my wife, it would cost my family, it would cost other people if I got out of the will of God tonight. Yeah. And Jonah is out of the will of God, and the Bible says Jonah's down there asleep. The storm's bad. The waves are, the storm is tumultuous. The waves are high. Jonah's down there asleep. Everybody else is tore up. Isn't that the way it usually goes? People that get out of the will of God, people that ought to be nervous, the people that ought to be troubled, the people that ought to be tore all to pieces, they act like it don't even bother them. But it's all the other people around them. You take a child, get out of the will of God, or a husband or wife, get out of the will of God, the one that's out, they don't bother them. But the mothers tore up, the fathers tore up, their friends are tore up, their grandparents are tore up. And I tell you, whenever we get out of the will of God, it causes innocent people to have grief.
Amen.
I tell you, young people, when they get out of the will of God, and sometimes they have a tendency to do that when they get up about 13, 14, get their license, get a job, get a little independent. They sometimes get out of the will of God. And I'll tell you, boy, they've caused many a mother or father sleepless nights, wet pillows, all because they got out of the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
Jonah learned that when it was all over. But I'll tell you what Jonah learned there. Finally, it took him a while, but Jonah learned there was a cure for troubled waters. Did you know that there's a cure for troubled waters when the waters are troubled because of your own rebellion? There's a cure for it. You say, what was it? Well, the Bible tells us here, you know, these mariners, they asked that question. They asked that very question. They said, what must we do? What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? And Jonah tells them, verse 12, he says unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Now look down verse 15. So they took up Jonah, they cast him forth into the sea, and what happened? The sea ceased a raging. Amen. It was very simple. You say, what happened? Well, Jonah got off of the ship of rebellion. He's not in the will of God yet, but he's headed that way.
Oh yeah.
Amen. I tell you, you think being in a ship and it's storming is a bad place to be. He found out there's a worse place, in the belly of a large fish, the belly of a whale that went down to the bottom of the ocean. Amen. I'll tell you, he went down, but he finally got in the will of God. Now I have a question for you tonight. Jonah said, they said, what must we do that the sea will be calm unto us? And Jonah said, cast me into the sea. Here's my question. Why didn't Jonah just jump in the sea?
Yeah.
If he knows that's what it is, and he knows that's what's causing all the problem, why don't he just run and jump into the sea? I'll tell you why. Because many times an old rebellious saint of God is stubborn against the will of God. They know they're wrong. They know God's revealing all around them. They know what God's doing. But I'll tell you, a man that has a rebellious nature, and many times that nature's even worse when we're out of God's will and we're rebelling against God. People come all the time to this church. I can name them a name. I can tell you where they sit. They got all kinds of things going on in their life. And it's because they're out of the will of God. But when invitation given, they will fight. They know that all they'd have to do is come down here, get in the altar, confess their sin, get in the place where God wants them to be, and the sea would become calm in their life. But they rebelled against God. You see, Jonah was out of the will of God in the place where God told him to be. God said, go to Nineveh.
Amen.
Jonah's out of the place of what God told him to do. God said, go preach the word to those Ninevites.
Amen.
But worse than all of that, Jonah's out of the will of God with a person.
Yeah.
He's out of God's will.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, the minute that Jonah got into God's will, minute they thrown him overboard, he got off of that old bad ship of rebellion. The minute he went overboard, I believe them waters came just still. Amen. You say, who made them still? The Lord did. You say, who troubled them? The Lord did. Amen. Don't you know the Lord can trouble the waters of our life? And don't you know the Lord, he can calm the troubled waters of our soul, thank God. The Bible said he maketh the sea a calm and a still. So tonight I want to say, number one, when does he calm them troubled waters?
Yeah.
When you get out of the ship of rebellion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't know tonight if there's anybody here tonight rebelling against God or not.
Bless him, Lord.
I don't know if God is wanting somebody to do something tonight and they won't do it. I don't know if God has been wanting somebody to get saved. If you're lost, he wants you to get saved. And you've been rebelling against it. I don't know. But maybe there's things going wrong in your life. And you say, why is this? It's because you're rebelling against the will of God.
Amen.
And I'll say tonight, if you're a child of God, a saint of God, born again, been saved, washed in the blood, know Jesus Christ, he knows you. Mm-hmm. And you know God's will for your life. And you're rebelling against it, it's not going to go well.
No, right.
It's not going to go well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. All right, look in Matthew 8. Tonight, Matthew 8 and verse 23. This is the first place in the Bible that I ever preached from. Matthew 8, verse 23 through verse 27. First sermon ever preached, right there. And the Bible said, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the sea was covered with the waves, troubled water, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye little faith?
Yeah.
And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Amen. Now we had Jonah, who is a rebellious preacher running from the God and out of the will of God, and the waters are troubled. But here tonight again is some disciples of the Lord. We find them also in troubled water. Now they're not running from God, they're sailing with God. They're on boat with God. Jesus Christ is God, and they're on the boat with God. They're not trying to get away from God. They're not out of the will of God. He's the one that told them to get on that boat. He's the one that put them on that boat. So they're in the will of God. They're doing what he said. They're not running from God. They're riding with God. And yet the waters are troubled and the storm, it comes just the same. Why all of this? Why the storms? Why the troubled waters in the life of these obedient disciples? I'll tell you why. Because you see, this is a test in our life.
Right.
How many know tonight that if you go to school, how many has went to school 12 years and you went to school 12 years? How many? All right, how many went to school 13 years? Some of you had trouble. You didn't do too good. Amen. But if you went to school, you didn't go 6 months till you learned what this. You learn if you go to school, you take tests. Amen. Someone said when they voted Pryor out of school, they said Pryor will never be out of school as long as teachers keep giving tests. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know tonight, listen, that this is what this is all about. This is a test. This troubled water is not because they're rebelling against God. They're out of the will of God. Oh, no. They're in the perfect will of God. But this storm is a test. When you went to school, you had tests. And you, my friend, if you're saved tonight, you and I are in the school of faith. We're sitting every Sunday in what we call Sunday
school.
Amen. If we're in Sunday school, now I don't prick any of the teachers. I don't think it'd be a bad idea, but I don't think any of the teachers ever so many weeks pass out a paper and say we're going to test you over what we've learned. Might not be a bad idea. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this. If your teacher don't test you, your God will.
Oh, yeah.
You know the worst kind of test that there was when I was in school? You know there's all kinds of tests, and There were those tests where you fill in the blanks, and most time I was blank. There was those tests where you had multiple choice. I loved them.
Amen.
That way, at least you had one out of three chances of possibly getting it right. Amen. But the worst test that I hated worse than any test was what they called the pop quiz. In other words, it was just you weren't warned about it. It just came real sudden, just all at once. They give you a test over what they've been teaching that day, or maybe for 2 or 3 days, and you've been shooting paper wads, you've been writing notes to the people in front of you. You hadn't heard anything the teacher said, and she says, "All right, we're going to have a pop quiz." Oh Lord, I'm going to have a pop quiz. Can I tell you that God gives pop quizzes in the school of faith. He wants to see what you and I have learned. Well, we see here that this test was about fear. It was a fear test for the storm came, and they were all afraid. They were all afraid. I'll tell you, I can't hardly preach from this chapter without thinking about my first sermon. And it's a long story, and I won't go into all of it. But I'll tell you, I answered the call to preach. I told my pastor early in the week. He said, "Don't tell nobody you're going to preach Sunday night." And I didn't tell nobody. But I'll tell you, I was the most miserable human that ever had been on the face of God's earth. And ever since then, and even before them, I never had a more miserable time than I had in those few days before I had to preach on Saturday night or on Sunday night. And on Saturday night, I tried every way, Thursday, Friday, every way to get out of it, every way to retract on it, and every way would just fail. I remember one time I actually drove down to the Mathis Mill Bridge. How many knows where the Mathis Mill Bridge is? Oh, yeah. I drove down there, and I thought, "I'll just jump off, and I'll just end my life, and that'll be all of it, Brother Eddie. I'll just do that." You say, "Well, you're here tonight. You didn't jump. Why didn't you jump?" "I can't swim." And I chickened out, amen. But on Saturday night, we had a Saturday night singing. And I went there, and I was the most miserable human being that had ever been on the face of God's earth.
Bless him, Lord.
I tell you, I just wish the earth would swallow me up. I just tore all to pieces. I was backward, introverted, not a conversationist, not one to speak much, and I just know there was no way in God's earth I could ever do this. And I sat there and that singing, and boy, just like a light come on, the devil said, "Your mother-in-law's back there in the back, and she loves you. Just go back there and tell her you're sick, and you got to go home and have the preacher, to have her to tell the preacher that you made a mistake and you can't do it." I thought, "That's pretty good. That'll work." And I sat there and I enjoyed that singing. It was good. I really enjoyed it and everything. And they always took an offering in the middle of singing. That's when I was going to make my move. And the preacher stopped for that offering, and I got up to go back there, and man, his seat's empty. And I walked back there and I said, "Where's Mammy at?" They said, "She got sick and had to go home." Oh, Lord, you're talking about fear. You're talking about failing a fear test. I went on back in and sat down. There was nothing else I could do. And when they sung at the end of that service, they give the invitation. And Wilmer King's little sister, Jennifer, she was just about 6-7 years old. They give that invitation, and I sat back where Brenda is, and she come walking right by me, Marty, just a bawling, and she come down to the altar there and knelt, and after a little while trusted Christ and was saved, and she got up and said she was saved. And when she said that, if God ever spoke plain to me, he spoke plain to me, and he said, "If that little 6-year-old girl can trust me with her soul," he said, "why can't you trust me with what I want you to do?" And I waved the white flag of surrender, and I said, "I give up." And I went down that night, and I told everybody God called me to preach. And I preached on Sunday night, and God blessed me.
Amen.
I've been trying to preach ever since then. But I'll tell you, I failed that fear test that night. I'll tell you, these disciples, they failed the fear test when the storm came. He had already been with them. He'd already done all kinds of things and brought them out of all kinds of situations. If he had told them once, he had told them 50 times, "Don't be afraid." And they failed the fear test.
Amen.
How many times has God sent them tests in our life?
Yeah, Brother Rick.
It's also a faith test. Mm-hmm. You say, how you know that? Because he said in verse 26, why are you fearful?
Right.
That tells me it was a fear test.
Yes.
But then he said in the end of verse 26, why are you fearful? And then he answers the question, why they're so fearful.
Yes, right.
He says, why is it you have no faith?
That's right.
You know why you and I get afraid?
Bless him, Lord.
We don't have any faith.
That's right.
He didn't really say they had no faith. He said it this way. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Mm-hmm. They had a little faith, but the little faith they had was evidently in the wrong person, the wrong thing, because they still got afraid. Amen. They failed that fear test. They failed that faith test.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, thank God they passed one test.
Glory.
You say, what was that? That was the test that caused the troubled waters to be still. They failed that fear test. They failed that faith test.
Bless him, Lord.
But they passed that find test. Mm-hmm. You see, what do you mean? They knew where to find it.
Yeah, man. Woo! Yes.
They quit hosting sales. They quit trying to roll out of it.
Amen.
And somebody said, we better go get God.
Yeah.
We better go get Jesus.
Amen.
And they run to the back of the boat. They knew where he was.
Woo.
Amen. Can I tell you, there's many times, Brother Eddie,
yeah,
I've failed the fear test.
Yes, brother.
There's many times I've failed the faith test.
Yeah.
But thank God I still made a passing grade, because after a while,
woo,
I knew to find him. I
Amen.
Knew to go somewhere and keep looking for him. I got a hold of him.
Amen.
I thank God. I'm glad tonight that if we
Woo.
Find him.
Hallelujah, brother. Glory.
We find him.
Amen.
The waters will get calm.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
Number one, when you get out of that ship of rebellion,
bless the Lord,
the waters will get calm. Number two, when you get up and wake the captain up. Mm-hmm. See, he's the captain of the ship. You
That's
say,
right.
What's he doing to sleep? He's the only captain that can sleep and still have things under control.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Because he knew that boat was not going down. With him on board.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's not a record in the Word of God of any ship ever going down that Jesus was on board.
Woo!
Yeah.
Jack, you ought to shout right there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank God.
Yeah.
We may be tossed to and fro.
Yeah.
We may be at our wits' end, but
Amen.
If he is on board, thank God, we're going to make it
That's
through
right.
the storm. Amen.
Amen.
And so when they woke him up, the Bible said they ran to him. They woke him up. Curse not that we perish. He said what he said. He gave them a few questions there, a few pop quiz. And then the Bible said he went out there and the winds became calm. The sea became calm.
Woo!
Amen.
Glory to God.
I'm glad the Lord's able to do
that. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Brother Rick.
Glad God's able to do that. You know,
yeah.
It's amazing how that you can have so much faith one minute, next minute you
yeah.
have
You're right.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if they had a meter on the thing, and then, mm-hmm. you know, in your estimation, it's up to the top, and
yeah.
then the waters start to get stirred and troubled a little bit, and next thing you know,
Amen.
It's falling down. And next thing you know, well, you don't have any faith.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can never know how much faith that I have, how much faith you have without a storm.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Marla sings that song that, you know, faith is easy when you're up on the mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
When it really gets hard. The next time trouble comes into your life, if it's not, if you're not running from God, if you're not out of the will of God, the next time trouble comes in your life, just thank the Lord, maybe giving me a test.
Yeah.
The Lord may just be testing me. He wants me to see what I know. See, it's not so he can know. He already knows.
Yeah.
But he wants us to see what
yeah.
we know. Because sometimes we think we know more than what we know.
Yes,
it's true.
Amen. I took a few tests in school and I thought I aced it.
Yeah.
And she got it back. I helped it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Memphis the other day, she said she got a 2 L's in math. I said, honey, you keep that up, you're going to be in the grave with Remy. Amen. God wants us to make a passing grave in our faith.
That's right.
I've had the waters troubled because of rebellion in my life. And I'll tell you, when I got off that ship of rebellion and got in the will of God,
Amen.
because the waters to get calm.
That's right.
I've had the storms and the waters troubled in my life.
Yeah.
And I was right in, the best I know, I was right in the will of God. But it was a test.
Bless it.
To show me where I was at in my life and where I was at on God's faith meter. Amen.
Amen.
Go one more place tonight. Look over in John 5 tonight. John chapter 5. Look at verse 1. And the Bible said, after this there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus, he went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. There it is. Some troubled water there. I want to say, listen, the waters will get calm in your life when you get off the ship of rebellion.
Yeah.
The waters will get calm in your life when you get up and go wake the captain up. That may be what God's trying to do in someone's life. He may be trying to get you to get up and to come down and wake the captain up and say, Lord, I careless not that I perish. Lord, don't you know what's going on in my life? Lord, I need you. That might be what he's waiting for tonight. And this last thing I want to say, when you get in the pool of salvation. Now I'm calling this the pool of salvation because there's so many things about this pool that reminds me of salvation and the plan of salvation. And we read there in John, we read where the Bible says, and the waters waiting for the moving of the waters. And verse 4 says, and an angel come down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Did you know sometimes God troubles the waters of your life because he's trying to get you to get in the pool of salvation?
Right,
amen.
Right, amen.
Amen. I've heard so many people stand up after getting saved and they'd say, boy, everything just was going wrong. I couldn't do nothing right. I couldn't get nothing right. Nothing would work for me. But I got saved. And when I got saved, everything just started falling in place. And my life began to come together. Amen.
Amen.
I believe tonight sometimes God lets things happen in our life as a lost person to try to get us to step in the pool of salvation.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to see something here tonight. Why I say it's like, why I think this pool is like salvation. Number one, it was for sick folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
The Bible says there was a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered. It's all sick folk. This pool wasn't for healthy people.
Right.
It was for sick folk.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that salvation is not for the self-righteous? Amen. Jesus said, I come to call sinners to repentance. Salvation is for sinners that know they're sick, they're spiritually sick, and they're lost and dying, and they're going to go to hell. That's who the pool of salvation's for.
Right?
And self-righteous sinners would not only get in the pool, they won't even come near the pool.
That's right.
Because they don't think they need it.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Number two, I see this. It said an angel came down in a certain season and troubled the waters.
Mm.
That reminds me of the pool of salvation. You say,
right.
Why? Because it has to be troubled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
From up above.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
And I've been in services like this, and you can see that God has come down.
Yeah.
God has troubled.
Convicting.
God has troubled the waters. God has troubled somebody. Amen. And you can see that. You can know that.
Yeah.
And then look here. This man said, sir, I have no man when the waters troubled to put me in. And I tell you, this reminds me of the pool of salvation because it's for sick people. It was stirred from above.
Yes.
And you needed someone to help you get in.
Amen.
You couldn't get in by yourself. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. You need Jesus to get you in that thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You can't get saved by yourself. You can't get saved with the preacher. You can't get saved with the deacon. You can't get saved with mom and daddy. You can't get saved by those people trying to help you. That's what he said. I have no man to help me in. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, Jesus can help you get in the pool of salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad he helped me get in one day. Amen. This reminds me of salvation because it was surely for everybody. Because I like the terminology in verse 4. It says whosoever.
Yeah.
Whosoever.
Yes. Yes.
Anybody can get in.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We have this teaching and it's becoming, it's growing and it's spreading and it's false teaching, it's false doctrine. But it teaches that only elect few can be saved. It's called Calvinism and hyper-Calvinism that teaches that only a few can be saved. They're elected before the foundations of the world. And they pick two or three verses in the Bible that has the word election in it and they build their whole doctrine upon it that before the foundations of the world, God picked so many people to be saved and everybody else was predestined to go to hell. I don't believe a word of it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because if that's true, every little baby that some mother holds, one of them may be predestined to go to hell. The other one over here may be predestined to go to heaven. I don't believe a word of it. Amen. I don't believe God predestines little babies to go to hell. If you believe it, help yourself.
Right.
I'll tell you what, that destroys churches. That's killing churches across this country faster than anything I know of.
Yeah.
You say why? Because once it gets in a church and gets a hold, people give up the track passing.
You're right.
Yeah.
They give up the door knocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
They give up the praying for sinners.
Yeah.
You say, why? Well, if they're already elected to be saved, it don't matter if I witness or pass out tracts or do anything. They're going to get saved anyway. Amen.
Amen.
But the Bible, all through the Bible, and even in this verse here, the Bible said, whosoever, whosoever got in, anybody could get in.
Whosoever will.
Amen.
Water life.
Whosoever will. I'm glad it's a whosoever.
Yes.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
I'm glad that anybody can get in.
Yeah, that's how I got there.
I mean, I guess some folks just want them to get in. But I'm glad that them can get in.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad the millionaire can get in if he gets his heart right. And I'm glad the street person can get in if he gets his heart right.
That's right, brother.
Yes. I'm glad the man that goes to college and gets PhD and a master's degree and all that. I'm glad that if he has enough knowledge to believe in God and know himself a sinner, I'm glad he can get saved.
Yeah.
But I'm glad the old fellow that can't even read his name in boxcar letters, I'm glad he can get in, thank God.
Amen.
It's a whosoever.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then it says in that same scripture there, it said could be healed of whatsoever.
That's right.
I'm glad it's whatsoever.
Right. Amen.
I'm glad it ain't just for folks that were drunkards. And they were wasting their life, drinking their life away. I'm glad God didn't say the drunkards can just get saved. I'm glad God didn't say the dopers can get saved. I'm glad God didn't say just the whoremongers can get saved.
Amen.
I'm glad God didn't say just the fornicators can get saved. I'm glad God didn't say just the adulterers can get saved. But I'm glad God said you can get in and get healed of whatsoever.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Whatsoever.
Amen.
We not all had the same sin, but we have all sinned.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now watch. He said whosoever could get in. He said they could be healed of whatsoever was wrong with them. And he said they could do that whensoever. The waters were troubled.
Yeah.
You can't just get in anytime you want to.
That's right.
The waters have got to be troubled. That's why you can't say, okay, just come get saved tonight. Just come on down and get saved. They can't do that.
That's right.
Unless God's digging with their heart.
They
can't do that unless the conviction of God has convicted their heart, put a desire in them. Most of the time they're not going to come anyway. Why? Because if God don't put that desire in there, they don't have a desire.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Man. I tell you, when I went today, I got saved. I didn't go to get saved. I wasn't thinking about getting saved. Not at all. But long about the last stanza, middle stanza of that invitation song, I want to get saved. You say, how come? God put a want to in my heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. God convicted my heart. God let me see that I was going to hell. Oh, I'm glad that God had mercy to let me see I was lost and undone without God or His Son. Amen. I'll tell you, listen, whenever that water's troubled, whenever God is dealing with hearts, whenever God is convicting that person's heart, you can get saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can get in.
Yeah.
Praise God. I think that's a problem now. We've drove so many down that their heart wouldn't trouble and the water wouldn't trouble.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Amen. You're right.
I think that's a problem now. We've had too many C-section babies instead of letting them come to full spiritual term. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You say, what do you mean on that? I mean, God's conviction work needs to be in their heart. They need to be under conviction. I'll tell you, when a man really gets troubled about his soul, you won't have to have a song leader sing 35 verses, "Just as I am." If a man or a woman ever, if God ever hangs them out over hell for a little while, and they ever get troubled about hell, they'll run to the altar. Have you ever seen sinners run to the altar?
Yeah. Amen.
I've seen folks get up back there about where Ivan is, and by the time they got to grave, they're saved.
Amen, praise the Lord.
He said, "I don't believe in that. Go tell them."
Amen, brother.
Right. Yeah.
God can save on the kneel or on the run.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Right. Amen. This little girl got saved the other day sitting there in that second row.
Yeah.
She said, "I asked Jesus to save me." If they'd been at some churches, they'd say, "Wait a minute, that's not right. That's out of bounds. You got to be here at the altar to get saved."
No.
There ain't nothing magical about that altar.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't nothing magical about that.
That's right.
It's a good place to come, good place to kneel. It's representative of some things. But I want you to know the reason you get saved is not because that you're at the right place on the altar.
Yeah.
The reason you get saved is because your heart has gotten to the right place where you're humbled down and Jesus can come in.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Humble us.
Good preacher.
I know some folks that got saved. They didn't even pray to get saved. You say, "Oh, you got to pray." Where's that at in the Bible? I mean, I believe in prayer. I prayed when I got saved. Most sinners do pray when they get saved.
Amen.
But what the Bible says is believe.
That's right.
Amen. I know Bible doctrine sounds strange, but you know, the truth's truth.
Amen.
And the Bible says when you believe upon the Lord, you're not saved because your prayer, you're saved because your faith. You believed upon the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? This pool reminds me of salvation. Because this thing was of grace. None of them deserved to be healed. None of us deserve to be saved.
Amen.
The Bible said the place was called Bethesda and there were five porches. Most Bible scholars will tell you in Bible numerology, they'll tell you that number five is a number of grace.
Right.
There's a few that say it's a number of death. I don't fuss or fight with them because I'll tell you, I know of one death that took place in this world 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And buddy, it was sure grace.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most Bible people will tell you the number five is the number of grace. And all these people were there and they could not one of them be healed except by the grace of God to send this angel down to trouble this water and to help them to get in. I'm glad salvation's all by grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, good day in my life when that truth registered home.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Good day in that life, my life when I learned I didn't have to give so much, I didn't have to pray so much, I didn't have to do so much. It was all the grace, thank God. I tell you, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I tell you, I do not frustrate the grace of God because if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain.
Amen.
That's right.
Any one of us could live good enough at any time to save ourselves.
Yes.
God let His Son die when there was no need of it.
Yes. Right.
If man could or ever could be saved by the Ten Commandments, God would have never let His Son die.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's all the way back before the law. I'm telling you, this Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith.
Yeah.
And that not of yourself.
Yes.
Yes, right.
It's not even by faith. God gives me the faith.
Right, yep. Brother, right. Yep.
Amen. He believes for me, Eddie.
Yeah.
When I come, He's already believed for me. He's already said, Father, if they'll come, I believe for them. If they believe in me, I believe for them. Thank God.
Amen.
I tell you, you need to let that settle in a little bit.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Amen. Then He said, when that water was troubled, they could all see it. That's what they said. They were sitting there watching, waiting for the troubling of the water. Now that reminds me of salvation. You say, how could they all see it? The Bible said that some of them was blind. He could see it with his ears.
Yeah.
He's listening. He's watching with his ears. He used to be an old blind man that we'd get to tune the piano. What was his name? Anybody know Brother?
Trolley Bison.
No, not Trolley. This man worked. His boy worked the hospital. Steele, Brother Steele. He was a blind man, and I used to hire him to tune the piano. And of course, he couldn't see, so I'd have to go pick him up that morning. And we'd go up to the square in that old mission church up there where PJ's was. And I'd have to go up there and sit with him all day, ever how long it took. And I'd go up there and sit with him. Of course, he couldn't see, so I'd go get his lunch and bring it, set it out. And put it out there and everything. And he'd be down there tuning on that piano. And he'd get down there tuning and everything. And he'd make a sound. And then he'd say, I didn't see that. He'd go back and tune a little more.
Yeah.
You saw what you said, even the blind man could see it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You ever see the Holy Ghost get on somebody?
Praise the Lord.
They're back there shaking. They're crying. They're trying not to act like they're troubled, but you can tell they're in misery.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, the blind man could see it. Yeah, they all needed help too. The blind man needed somebody to lead him to it. I need somebody to lead me to him.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Rich.
He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thou. With words from heaven, He comforts me.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad that day the Holy Ghost came to Temple Hill Baptist Church.
Yes,
about 8 or 9 pews back. And He said, come on, boy.
Yeah.
And He led me. Yeah. They said, why did He lead you? For I was blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to go. I couldn't see where to go. I didn't know how to go.
You couldn't help yourself. Yeah.
But He led me.
Hear me.
You see that? A deaf man, he couldn't hear. He needed somebody to go back there and just take him by the arm and say, come on.
Yeah.
The water's troubling. You need to come.
Amen.
That crippled man, he needs somebody to help him get down there. Because he's crippled.
Yeah.
You know, you and I is crippled by sin.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The Bible says we walk according to the course of this world.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was crippled.
Yeah.
But oh, thank God He came down there and
helped
me.
Yeah.
Thank God He came down there and helped me down there to where He was. Eddie, He helped me get in the pool of salvation.
Thank God.
I'm glad for that. The blind man, the impotent man, he didn't have the power. He wasn't able to get down there. He was too weak. The Bible said I was weak. I had no strength. But thank God, a strong man.
Yes.
He come back there and help me. He said, come on, son. Mm-hmm. I'll help you get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say this. I've heard people say, I made that first step, and then it was like somebody was carrying me the rest of the
way. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. See them all. Here's what the Bible says. The angel come down and trouble the waters. The waters of I don't know if they're boiling up or if they're making a stir. I don't know what's going on. But the Bible said whoever got down there, when they stepped in, the waters got steep.
That's right.
Amen. I know that Sunday morning, 1964, I had a storm going on inside of me.
Yeah.
I tell you, I did, and the waters were troubled in my soul.
So
but I'm glad when He came and He led me down and He helped me. Mm-hmm. And when I stepped in,
great calm.
There was a great calm.
Sure is,
in my soul.
Amen.
When does he calm the troubled waters? When you get off of the ship of rebellion.
Yeah.
When you get off of that ship of rebellion. When you come and you wake the captain up and say, I'm in a storm, I need help.
Amen. Let's go, brother.
When you get in the pool of salvation. Lord, I thank you tonight.
Yes, Lord.
These truths that you showed me from the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And I pray tonight, Lord, I don't know that there's a soul here tonight that has troubled waters, but there's always a lot the preacher don't know. We don't know what's going on in each other's homes behind closed doors. We don't know what's going on in people's lives and the workplaces and all the different things. God, I pray if this message is registered in someone's heart tonight, I pray that they might come tonight. And Lord, the waters, the troubled waters might become a great calm for them. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand if you would, please. Tonight, Lord, when they get off the ship of rebellion. Lord, when they learn what God's trying to get them to learn, or when they get in the pool of salvation, God will calm those waters and make the stormy waters to be a great, great calm.
Yes, Lord.
God, I pray for the folks that come tonight. I pray for folks that maybe knew they should have come but didn't. I pray tonight, Lord, and ask you to help us all tonight. Lord, we know from here to the other side we're going to encounter some storms. Lord, may they not be because of our sin, our rebellious spirit. Lord, I pray. May they not be because if we refuse to step into the pool of salvation. Help us, Lord. May it not be because we're too proud to go wake the captain up and say, I need help. I can't make it through this. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
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 Brother Rich.
Yes, sir. Thanks. You have to say it, brother.
You preached directly to me tonight.
Bless him, Lord. Bless my brother.
There ain't nobody in the life that's been more rebellious and prideful than me.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless you, brother.
I blame it on my daddy for raising me that way, but it ain't me.
Bless your heart. Bless my brother.
God bless you. Bless you.
I'm so stubborn and stiff-necked, sometimes I can't even bend over and pull my boots on.
Bless him, Father.
Bless him, Lord.
And bless my wife's soul. She has to live with that so many times because she knows I'm stubborn.
Bless him, Lord.
God sent her to me. There ain't no doubt in my mind about
it. Amen, Brother Ivan. Bless you, brother.
Bless you, brother.
Because nobody else would put up with somebody as stubborn as me.
Bless your heart.
Bless him, Lord. Bless his
heart. Bless you, brother. It's your humbleness and honesty.
But yeah. You know what, though? No matter what or how stubborn I might ever be, Jesus still loves me.
Amen, brother.
He forgives me.
Yeah.
He forgives me. You know, anybody that don't believe that God is a loving God and forgiving God, I tell you what, I'm a living testimony.
Amen, brother.
He has to forgive me every day so many times it ain't even funny because I make the mistakes.
That's
right. I'm so prideful.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you,
Lord. And I fail. But I want to thank the Lord for his church.
Amen, brother.
I want to thank the Lord for the feeling I get when I come to this.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Yep. You ain't church ain't no good if you ain't got no feeling.
That's right, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to visit a funeral home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to thank y'all for giving Lord a praise.
Amen. Yeah.